Let's Talk is the name of the program. Jeff and Scott with you here on a Thursday morning, 2 days after Election Day. We will have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's program.
All right, everybody's talking about it. Come on, they're going to be talking for days, weeks, months. Who knows? Let's welcome back to our program Stephen Caruso from Spotlight Pennsylvania, who covers Harrisburg and state government issues and so on. First off, Stephen, good morning. Thanks for joining us again today.
Oh, not a problem. Happy to be here.
I bet you've had an interesting couple of days. Yes?
I did. And if I may, the funniest part about it was on Election Day, I woke up. I drove up to northeastern Pennsylvania. I drove around going to polling places, as political reporters do on Election Day. And then on my way to Harrisburg to go to an election party, my car broke down, and I have been in the Lehigh Valley since then as it gets repaired. So I really had an extremely fun couple of days.
Good.
I say that. Look, I have an old friend who lives up here. I've been staying with them. Their hospitality is appreciated. And I can just make my phone calls from, you know, eastern Pennsylvania. It's fine.
You ever heard of a rental car? I mean, get a rental.
Rental?
A rental car. Come on.
I haven't heard of this. I'm sorry.
Oh.
be an enterprising idea.
Ask your friend. Enterprising idea.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. What's our frequency? 98.7 megahertz.
Oh, boy.
Anyway,
here you go.
Rental car puns, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's just start, Stephen, with not your car, but whatever. Just general reactions that you've seen or whatever in the last couple of days.
And maybe we're talking national?
I can start national and then work my way to my comfort zone.
There you go.
So, look, obviously Trump won a pretty defining victory. We're still counting votes, so final numbers aren't you can't go off of them, but he won by a lot, and he won all the swing states, and he's won the popular vote for the first time. So that's a big deal. I mean, that polls were, you know, hinting this was a toss-up race, and the fact is, because we don't have final numbers, there will be way more stuff coming in that will help us figure out exact narratives. And I think it's very hard to, we're still a couple days out. So I almost want to say, with a lead off, there's probably going to be a lot of narrative. There might even be some questions you guys have asked me, and please feel free to ask them later, that, I think, are almost premature to answer. Everyone kind of wants to jump out immediately with, their hot takes to try to push narratives post-election. If I'm to stick to the facts, I would just say, it looked like it would be close. Trump won every swing state. It seems like he outperformed his old margins in almost every demographic. I mean, yes, Latino voters. Yes, young men. Yes, driving out turnout in rural areas. But just everywhere, he overperformed his previous best benchmarks. And it also seems like Democrats, though we still have some time to count ballots, potentially underperform benchmarks set by Joe Biden in 2020. So there's a lot, and I think when it's such a broad, when that's so broad, there's a million trends that could go into it. And I'm happy to try to pick apart a few of those. I mean, I talked to some young voters on voting lines, young men in particular, who were voting for Trump. I've seen a lot of interesting content about Latino voters. I can't say I have some of my own experiences at the polls. Those are some of, I think, the big ones I've seen. But just overall, look, Trump did really well. Republicans at the top of the ticket in Pennsylvania did pretty well along with him. But there's even some weird light spots for Democrats, like the State House, which I'm sure we're also going to get into as well.
All right, so the next general question, granted, you're stuck without a rental car, but that's okay. Why did this happen? Now, you can share opinions, numbers, stats, whatever you want to share. Your thoughts, why did this just happen?
Well, I'm a reporter. I don't have opinions. From the voters I talked to on Election Day and from some of the stuff I've seen, why did this happen? Let's go back to 2020. Biden beats Trump. Then we live through the last 4 years of inflation, coming out of COVID, inflation that hurt people's pocketbooks. Biden becomes unpopular near the end. In 2020, he didn't outright say I'd be a one-term president, but I think he did heavily imply that, like, I'm here to pass the torch. I'm here to beat Trump and then get out of the way. That did not happen until he had a bad, really bad debate performance where he did not look like himself. He looked like someone who maybe just was not of his own mind. He drops out late. Harris steps in, runs a sprint campaign where, you know, it looks like she potentially got close, according to the polls at least, but then Trump wins in the end. So the fundamentals are already bad for Democrats. The economy was bad. Incumbents have been losing across the globe. So that kind of makes sense in some ways. Like, in some ways, like, I would say Harris should have always been considered the underdog. The fact that she was at any point considered maybe a favorite was just, I think, people, you know, talking to themselves. But, and so, like, you know, we go back to the James Carville quote, it's the economy, stupid. People were hurting. I don't think Democrats tried to talk to that. And, you know, that you could look at upper-lying numbers and employment was good. But just overall, people felt like they had less money in their pockets. I think that was across the board. And when I talked to voters, when they said they decided on the economy, they said they voted for Trump. When people were saying they were voting for Harris, like, they usually were telling me it's because of abortion or democracy or just dislike of Trump. And when people told me they're voting for Trump, it's because of the economy. And, you know, when you add that all up, I think that kind of makes sense that, you know, if you're scared there's less money in your pocket, if you were scared you had less money in your pocket, you voted for Trump. And that alone, given that's how people have felt for the last 4 years, it makes sense he won.
All right, but let me keep going here, all right? Some of those groups you kind of mentioned, Latinos, they're supposed to be in the pocket of the Democrats. Young people are supposed to be in the pockets of the Democrats. Some other groups are supposed to be in the, you know, black voters are supposed to be in the pockets of the Democrats. And yet somehow, now Trump didn't win them, but he made enough of an improvement that he won. Why? Are all those groups starting to turn away for the Democrats, or is this just a one-off?
I mean, I think this is the question that we will be asking for the next 4 years. We as a collective, you know, society and folks who follow politics, it's too early to say if this is a blip or if this is a trend. I mean, I know Republicans want to be a trend because, you know, where this all starts is back in 2008 with Obama. The Obama coalition is all those groups you described, like young people combined with non-white communities, black communities, Latino communities, Asian American communities, all those groups, you know, along with kind of traditional Democrat bases in places like Western PA, blue collar workers, voters without college educations. Yeah, we haven't talked about college education, another huge marker. People with college educations tended to back Harris, people without tended to back Trump. Once again, tended, like these are broad terms, there's always exceptions, yada yada. But so to go back to your question, I mean, yeah, and as you noted, this isn't because Trump outright won these groups. Groups still, by and large, backed Harris. It's just he tucked into the margins more. He got more folks around the edges, and that's enough to win in a swing state like Pennsylvania and in all the swing states. So, you know, if this is permanent, that'll come down to a lot of things. It'll come down to how Democrats respond, how well Trump, you know, follows up on his campaign promises, by events out of anyone's control, if, you know, something crazy happens, you know, all these things can change. I do think that, though, going back, I mean, from the young men I talked to, because it's particularly young men who voted for Trump, you know, a lot of them said the economy or foreign wars, concern about they thought Trump might be a stronger leader abroad and keep America out of foreign wars. I think those two things drove young Republican men to vote for Trump, or just young men to vote for Trump. And I think also then, you know, for Latinos, it was the economy again, and I've even seen reporting that, like, you know, folks would say, like, yeah, look, I understand he might be a little bigoted against us, but, and he might have promises of deportation, but I just don't think they're going to deport me. I'm doing the things right. I'm showing up to work. And if you're doing things right, I don't think you have much to worry about, and maybe they should get rid of the bad people. I will say, I actually talked to a woman in Allentown who basically did give me that argument. She said she was still voting for Harris. Like, for her, the fact that somebody who might not deserve it could be deported was enough for her to vote for Harris, but it seems like plenty of voters kind of took the, well, he will only deport people who deserve it, therefore I can vote for Trump because I won't be deported. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I want to ask you about the because I think part of why Donald Trump got as many votes as he did across the spectrum was unlike, and this is, I'm curious if you agree with this. I think, unlike many Republican candidates in my lifetime, Donald Trump actually went and asked for their votes. I think Republicans, to a large degree, on the national scale, have just, well, this group, yeah, man, I wish we had them, but we don't. And they, I mean, Donald Trump, love him, hate him, whatever, but he goes into places that you're like, oh, man, this isn't going to go well. And he talks to folks. And it's like, here's why I think you should vote for me. Like, he actually reached out to the black community, to women, to the Latinos, to, and he's like, hey, like, think about it. Right? Like, really consider us because we are, I think it, it is almost that simple that he actually went out and asked for their vote, didn't just assume it was a foregone conclusion that he wasn't going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Republicans need to follow that up. I think part of moving forward is going to be, yeah, don't write anybody off. Go out and at least ask, engage. Now, yeah, there's going to be people that disagree with you and do so passionately, and they're not going to come to your side. But I that outreach to me is one of the underrated stories of Donald Trump's success here in terms of his election.
Yeah, I mean, that I would say that that makes sense. I mean, Trump, you know, keeps a hefty travel schedule. I mean, you know, both candidates were really barnstorming, but Trump, you know, he had an event in Allentown, I think, after the Madison Square Garden controversy where, you know, the comedian made the joke about Puerto Rico, and he went to Allentown, like, a couple days later. Like, they went the damage control mode. And I would say, too, like, I think beyond Trump, I mean, this is politics 101. I mean, you know, especially at a swing state, is, like, all parties, if they're doing their due diligence, all ideologies, whatever you are, you should be trying to talk to everyone. Now, that's not necessarily how modern campaigns work because of the way campaign infrastructure is built, because of, like, modern data sorting. Like, people try to, you know, you want to get the most bang for your buck. You know, it doesn't pay to just, like, send a guy out and just knock every door in your neighborhood. What if you hit a door who's not registered and stuff? Like, campaigns aren't built like that anymore. They're meant to, you know, kind of, like, look for the most the voters you think are most likely to swing your way. And Trump just kind of, you know, I think, you know, to his credit, as you noted, just kind of was like, I'll just go wherever. I'm sure there's some data folks behind him trying to edge him in the right ways. You know, big parties have folks like that. But, like, I think it's beyond Trump. Like, in general, one thing I definitely heard from folks when I was talking to voters was this sense of nobody talks anymore. I mean, a few people joking as I sat in line, like, I'm seeing folks I haven't seen in years because, like, this is the one thing we're all in person showing up to as neighbors. And, you know, talking to people door to door, face to face, I think that's what a lot of people want these days. We've all been very isolated, especially coming out of COVID. Obviously, that's not as much of an issue now, but people like talking to people.
I wonder, but I would like to think so, and I do. I wonder about that because I'm running into more people that don't. And I'll just, it's anecdotal, I'll admit, but our kiddo is a Cub Scout, and we do popcorn sales every year, and he loves doing it, and he loves the interaction. And I am telling you, it has increased each year here, where you can see, now, maybe they just don't want to be solicited. Again, this is anecdotal, but
yeah.
I am very surprised by the number of people who they're clearly home. You see the lights on, and we've seen, I don't want to exaggerate, but it was 9 or 10 houses at least in the days that I went out with them where you saw people peeking out through the windows. Oh, I don't want to interact with a human being. And it's like, well, I mean, like, you can just open the door and say, man, I think this is great that you're doing this. You know, no thank you. And we get plenty of, like, I have no problem with the no thank yous. But I am amazed at the number of people who shy away. And same thing. The you know, now since the pandemic, you can just have the food delivered. Yep, just place it in front of my door. Me personally, I like those small interactions. I like that human connection, even at the grocery store. But it feels to me like there are an increasing number of people that, nope, I don't want any human interaction. Leave the food by my door. I'll check myself out at the grocery line. So I just wonder about that. And even the number of people now that are going to the polling places. Yeah, to me, it's a social experience as well. And it's, hey, good morning. A couple of the poll workers that I know at my place, it's good to see you again. I at least see them, twice a year. But with the mail-in ballots, I'm just wondering whether or not that is, as many people are craving that as what we used to have anyway.
You know, I think, and you raise a good point. I do think, you brought up, you can do the contactless delivery of your, whatever food you got delivered. And, Amazon, the rise of packages for all this. I think that plays in. But I think people respond to incentives. And I think also people were told for about a year and a half that, it's actually like your civic duty to not interact with people. And I think that brought out, there are extroverts and there are introverts, and I want to acknowledge that. I think that's definitely a trend, but I don't necessarily think that's it's not locked in. Things come and go. And in my experience, even just in my personal life, I've noticed that it feels like sometimes people don't want to interact with people until suddenly they are, and they feel a lot better. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. Maybe I'm saying something big about myself. I should say for therapy. But, going back, I encounter this too. When I go out door knocking with candidates sometimes just to, shadow them, see what normal people say about politics, not just, operatives and whatnot. And, there were days we went out and only, two people answered the door. I mean, that was kind of shocking to me. I remember doing this in 2018, and you get pretty good response. You've told people, you gave a very nice, I'll take your card and I will bid you adieu.
I don't know. That's just good. Interesting.
Steven, I'm just curious now. It's only been a couple of days. What is Harrisburg's reaction? State capital. What is Harrisburg's reaction this week?
Surprise. I will tell you, most of my official GOP sources did not at all think that this is how this whole race was going to go. They thought they might pick up a row office or two. They thought if Trump won, maybe it'd be a squeaker. I think there was a widespread thought that it would not be I hesitate to use the word landslide because, as we're going to get into, Democrats have had some interesting down ballot successes, but just broad GOP success.
Yeah, and I don't think, I don't know, I'm always, I either way, I get uncomfortable when, and politicians love to pull out, well, I have a mandate. You always have, even in the landslides over the years, you still have a substantial 40%, 45% plus that it's like, nope, we didn't vote for you. I don't know. The mandate stuff always interests me as well. I don't, just go do your job. Whether it's a mandate or not, go do your job.
All right, we got to take a break here. Again, our guest is Steven Caruso from Spotlight PA. Now, Steven, when we come back, I have a question about Governor Shapiro. The mental image I have is the governor sitting in his governor's office today, and he's smiling. I think he's smiling.
Yeah? You think he's gearing up for
multiple reasons.
Yeah, all right.
Just a thought. All right, folks, we'll take a break here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back right after this.
You can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Fox Sports 98.7 is giving you a chance to win tickets to see Blake Shelton live in concert. Saturday, March 22nd, country music comes together for one spectacular evening. Blake Shelton presents his Friends and Heroes Tour with special guests Trace Adkins, Craig Morgan, Nina Carter. You can stop by Brothers Pizza in Belfont to win a pair of tickets for the show. Blake Shelton live in concert, March 22nd.
Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Here at the Fox 98.7, we believe in your right to keep and bear arms. Yep, we're going to give you a chance to win a firearm of your choice worth up to $600.
Jordan Firearms.
You'll get a gift certificate to buy that firearm if you qualify after the background check. You'll have that gift certificate to buy anything you want in the store up to $600.
Stop in today and register to win at Jordan Firearms, 280 Mill Street in Loganton.
I hear the deer and the bear are plentiful.
We don't just talk sports. The Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
More of the best sports talk around. This is Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Bigger and better, check out our new lineup. Every weekday morning, we have two pros and a cup of Joe featuring Penn State's own LeVar Arrington from 6 to 8. That's followed by a news talk show on our sports talk station. It's Let's Talk with your old pal me, Ironhead, and Scott Geezy. Then it's the Dan Patrick Show from 10 to noon. From noon to 2, it's Joe Lednoski. And from 2 to 4 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's Chris Bucanani featuring Behind the Wall with Landon Tengwall on Wednesday and Home Football Friday. From 2 to 4 on Tuesday and Thursday, it's the Goon and Ironhead Show. And from 4 to 6 weekdays, it's Jed Donahue. On Mondays from 6 to 7, we have the Penn State Players Show. And on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 6 to 8, it's the Keystone Kickoff Show.
National Football League.
Fox on the run.
All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Fox Sports.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL.
On Central PA Sports Authority.
Fox Sports.
Turn it up.
Turn it up. Turn it up.
Even the best athletes go through slumps and need professional support to get back on track. If you're going through some tough times, Autumn Spring Counseling is ready to help you get a game plan for success. Check out our website at autumnspring.co or call 814-826-3737 and sign Counselor Joshua Kirby to your team to help face the challenges of anxiety, depression, grief, and loss. That's autumnspring.co, autumnspring.co.
The Center Hall Farm Store is ready to meet all of your feed needs. Whether you're feeding livestock, pets, wildlife, or birds, stop in and let the Center Hall Farm Store provide the best food options for the animals in your life. And with winter coming, now is the time to stock up on wood pellets from the Center Hall Farm Store. Check them out in person at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or online at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. 110 Allison Street in Center Hall.
It's a Thursday morning edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you again. We'll have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment here this morning.
Again, our guest, Stephen Caruso from Spotlight, Pennsylvania, follows state government issues and so on. All right, Stephen, what I led into as we were going into the break, a few months ago, my opinion on the show was I think Josh Shapiro is the luckiest man in America because he was passed over for being the Democrat vice presidential pick. And I use the old line, be careful who you hitch your wagon to. I've got to really be thinking this week he's smiling. Now, maybe that's my cynical side, but what do you think? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you talk to the governor or ever get to cover him regularly. What do you think he's thinking this week?
Well, I cover the guy as much as he makes himself available at the Capitol Press Corps, which is just the right amount. But look, I don't know. I can't read inside his head. I think he himself has been relatively quiet since the election night, as someone who monitors social media too regularly. I think you brought this idea of like, oh, well, he's happy now on the ticket. I have heard every version of why every way this could have gone. He makes the ticket and they win. He makes the ticket and they lose. He doesn't make the ticket and they win. He doesn't make the ticket and they lose. I have heard the justification for all of those as to why that is the best move for Josh Shapiro. So I guess I say that out of a, like, I think what you're thinking could definitely be true. That, like, you know, okay, Harris didn't carry his home state after passing him over. Like, there's a narrative there. There is very much a narrative there that could potentially drive a Shapiro presidential campaign, because just like how before he ran for governor, everyone kind of knew he wanted to run for governor, but he had never said he wanted to run for governor. It's kind of the same thing. It will surprise no one if this guy runs for president. But there will be other people in that race. That will be an open primary. It won't be like our gubernatorial race. I'd be shocked if it wasn't an open primary, at least, I guess I should say. So a lot of other people have narratives about why they're the best. And, you know, I don't want to get into the governor's head about what the best move is for him, but I can tell you that this is definitely something that I think a lot of people in Harrisburg are thinking about right now.
Now, first off, I mean, he's going to – now, has he announced officially, yes, I'm going to run for re-election as governor in 2 years? Has he done that yet?
No, but, I think one would – no, he hasn't. I mean, I'd be surprised if he didn't, but he has not announced yet officially.
But I've seen multiple stories, Stephen. This guy clearly has national aspirations. Yeah. Is that not accurate?
Yeah, my hesitancy here has more to do with I really, really try to speak to what I can say from direct knowledge from sources or from other people's sources. I haven't, you know, no one says that. But that was my point about everyone knew he wanted to run for governor, even though he didn't say he was running for governor until, like, September of 2021. So, yeah, he'll probably run for president. But, no one said, like, it's the sort of thing that I think everyone tries to keep close to the vest. There's so many names that are thrown out there, too, and Shapiro's is definitely one of them.
Now, I think I have this right, Stephen. Governor Shapiro was passed over because he's Jewish. And either that was the issue, or at least a issue, that he's Jewish. Now, first off, let me ask, is that accurate?
I would push back on that. Shapiro has straight up said that's not the case. Now, of course, you could talk about what his incentives are and say what he says is the truth or not. I will simply say, I think a better way to put it is there was widespread concerns about his policy and his positions on the war in Gaza that progressives in particular attacked. If that went harder against him because he happens to be a Jewish elected official, that is a debate for folks who are beyond me to have.
All right, let's talk about the legislature. Let's start with the state Senate. Now, this one, I think, is pretty clean. Republicans have been in control of the state Senate. I don't have any numbers in front of me, Stephen. They either picked up a seat or lost a seat. What's the state Senate look like right now?
It's going to be status quo because Democrats picked up one seat around Harrisburg that they were expected to pick up, but Republicans won an upset in Northeast Philadelphia, beating an incumbent there with a young former congressional staffer, Joe Picozzi. He's flipping a seat in Northeast Philadelphia.
So what is it, 28 to 22, I think?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so it's staying there.
All right. Now, over on the House, all right, now you and I communicated a little bit yesterday. Is this accurate? Right now, this moment, it is a tie, and we are waiting for that one seat in Cambria County where they had an election meltdown 2 days ago to see what happens. Is that correct?
Effectively. I mean, look, there's always uncertainty. Maybe a race goes askance. AP still hasn't made a call, I think, one of the other ones. But, yes, that's very much what it looks like. We're waiting on Cambria County to decide who will control the state house.
Okay. And we also communicated yesterday. Now, we had a problem up here in Center County with software or scanners or something. So we had a problem which got corrected yesterday. Cambria County had their meltdown 2 days ago, which they're still in meltdown. Nowhere else in Pennsylvania did they have voting problems?
Not that, nothing to this scale. I will say Kendrick County's been kind of light on details of exactly who's to blame. And frankly, I'll say, to their credit, I'm almost happy that they might be choosing the say little instead of say falsehoods, which often happens in politics. But with that said, there have been some issues with vendors in other areas. Erie County, for instance, had some mail-in ballot problems due to a vendor, they said, who didn't send them out right. So I just bring it up to say, like, nothing on the scale of Camarillo and Center County, but my understanding is the issue in those two counties might potentially, it's due to something with barcodes on the ballots that weren't matching with their scanners. And that seems like it could be an issue either on the county side or the vendor side.
Oh, boy. Well, again, this race down in Cambria County, the Republican who's running is an old friend of mine. And mm-hmm. Here where we live, we see a lot, or we saw a lot of the television ads, which really
a lot
made me angry. I mean, I gotta watch the words I say because this is a family program, because the Democrat running down there, the accusations he made were off the charts against the Republican. And again, I'm biased. This is an old friend of mine that I used to work with 25 years ago. I mean, I don't know. Do you have any kind? This is Frank Burns, the Democrat. Amy Bradley is the Republican. Burns is the incumbent. I don't know if you cover this, you know, every single little race, Stephen. What do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely familiar with this race. What's going to happen? I leave to the voters of the 72nd district. Look, Frank Burns is a longtime incumbent. He's running for his ninth term. He's one of the last of the Blue Dog Democrats. Votes against abortion, for abortion restrictions when it comes forward, votes against stricter gun laws. He's also voted, though, with House Democrats on some of their more economically populist policies. I can't pull any off the top of my head right now. Apologies. But he will be at the center when he needs to. But still, he is the 102nd vote in a House Democratic majority that has passed things like stricter gun laws and what have you. And that's kind of been a lot of the attacks on him. It's been, you know, he still is part of this majority that is advancing things that his rural district might not necessarily like. Ads against him from outside Republican groups have usually focused on some criminal justice bills that I've written about. There's definitely some falsehoods in there in terms of trying to imply he voted for something that didn't necessarily pass. As for Bradley, I know that my understanding is Burns has leveled a lot of attacks on her, and I believe the Cambria County Chamber of Commerce, some of the organizations being part of, trying to claim they're going to bring migrants in, a very Trumpian talking point, to, like, replace local workers. This race has been, it's the most expensive race in the state house. It's at $4 million?
Holy
3.5
moly.
Million? I think it's 4 million. And it's probably, that number's probably going to go up. That was true from like a 2 week old data. So it's probably going to be more, when all is said and done. And, mud is being swung, it sounds. And, you know, I guess that's what you expect when control of the state house is on the line. That's politics in 2024.
Amazing. So let's say Burns wins, all right? Democrats, once again, will have a one-vote margin in the state house, which is what they had before. So, Stephen, mm-hmm. if that happens, there's no change in Harrisburg. Big change in Washington, no change in Harrisburg. Would that be correct?
Yeah. I mean, like, I imagine everyone will be thinking differently about how they approach the next 2 years. But, no effective change in the governing coalition. Barring something unforeseen that can always happen to make this reporter sound stupid on radio shows like this.
We would never do that. No, we would never do that. Now, again, Casey McCormick, let's go back to U.S. Senate. Yeah, the last time we checked, 98% in. McCormick's up by 30,000 votes, but it's not called yet. Do you really think Casey has a chance to pull this out?
I just don't know. I haven't been able to, and that this time I'm actually not playing coy. I haven't checked the numbers as much. I think there might be still some mail-in ballots in Philadelphia, maybe a few in some of the suburbs. But Cambria County, as we noted, all of Cambria County's votes, not all, but all their in-person votes, which will probably skew heavily Republican, are still being counted too. If this works out, in Casey's favor, it will probably be an immensely close margin, immensely close. If he has the votes still outstanding to win, is beyond me, though.
Stephen, is it an automatic recount if it's within a certain percentage? And how does that process work then? Like, when do we have a final answer in that race?
I would have to brush up on the exact law, but what I can tell you is that I believe it's an automatic recount if any election is within 0.5 percentage points, which is what I think we probably would be heading to if Casey wins, or maybe if he loses, who knows. And that automatic recount would be paid for by the state. Either candidate can also request a recount, I think from any margin, but you have to pay for it, so obviously no one's requesting a recount of a race they lost by 10 points.
All right, Stephen, I love reading your stuff for Spotlight PA. It's really great.
Yep.
Let's look ahead to the coming year. From your perspective right now, what are the hot issues? I'm assuming there are some issues that are just kind of sitting there waiting to be worked on and so on. What are the hot state issues that you think could come up?
I mean, I would say that, if Republicans do in fact win the state house, vouchers has to come back onto the agenda. Republicans have been talking about it ever since 2023 when Shapiro seemed to agree to them and then backed off. So, public money going to private schools for students to attend there instead of a public school. I also think another really big one, though, is going to be public transit and transportation funding overall. Transit agencies across the state, including SEPTA and Philadelphia, have been saying they don't have enough money right now as federal dollars from the pandemic start to dry, and they've been asking for money. Shapiro said he wants that. House Democrats have been, and that's a top priority for them. It hasn't gotten done, but once you open up the transit conversation, other folks start saying, well, what about bridges? What about highways? Republicans have also been trying to throw into that a gambling conversation to fund it all, and that's a whole episode. I could talk about that for a while, but I'd say those two things have really come to top of mind for me in the coming year.
So is our casino coming? Do you know?
I think I've heard about this, but I don't have any secret knowledge about Center County. My apologies.
No problem. I can answer that one.
Come on.
Yes, it is.
Now, you mentioned school choice. Now, given what has just happened with this election this week, even if Democrats have that one vote margin in the House, again, just given what's just taken place, Governor Shapiro clearly had support for school choice at some point and then decided, well, maybe not right now. Maybe now he has enough sort of behind him to say, you know, this is something we should do. Now, am I reading that right or wrong?
I think you are reading a potential narrative that will be used very well. I absolutely think, given the results of this election, given the shifts within cities, within black communities, within Latino communities, there will be a push, another push. Like, vouchers will probably be put back on the table. Now, does that mean it gets done is a whole other question. Harrisburg works mysterious ways. Teachers unions are powerful. They very much oppose this. You know, how that shakes out? That's like, you know, that is a June conversation. Feel free to call me back when the weather's warm again.
I don't know. It's kind of warm today.
Crap. Oh, no.
Anyway.
Am I even here for you guys tomorrow, then?
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Stephen, we appreciate your time today. Go find yourself a rental car, okay?
I still don't know what that is, but okay.
See, if you were up our way in the next county, you could stop in at Avis. All right. There's an actual town called Avis. Okay.
Yep.
You could have stopped in there and gotten a rental car and you'd be fine. But anyway. Anyway, Stephen, please keep up the good work. Again, Spotlight PA. Again, Scott, transparency alert. I'm a financial contributor because I think you guys do great stuff. And I hope you never change and maybe, you know, do some new things and so on. You guys are awesome. Independent journalism, which I can trust. Without a lot of the crap that some of the I read in some other places. So thanks for your time, and please keep up the good work.
Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you very much.